What's going on, everybody? This is my first episode, my first podcast, episode number one. We got a special guest right here, man. This guy has a huge, huge hip-hop collection, magazines, toys, you name it. This guy has a huge, huge selection of things, man. Let me introduce to you guys right here, Brian Nagata. I couldn't say the name right, but we got it down, man. So, I mean, just explain to them, man, what you do.
What's going on, Julian? So, it's just a collection that I started when I was young. I was like 13 years old when I started collecting. You know, the short thing is that I had a love for hip hop. So I just started collecting stuff that went to it. And especially the magazine part, it was more like, that was our internet before the internet.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I got all the information from. But then I developed a love for it and I just started collecting more and more stuff and it turned into what it is now.
So how many years are you going on there now, man?
Got to be at least 30 years now, almost 30 years.
Man, that's good, man. What got you into it?
Like I said, most of it was, stuff that I just really enjoyed, and there was a lot of hip hop news out there that I wanted to follow. And again, when it first started, there was no internet, so yeah. Anything that you get, it's right here in these magazines.
Kind of
right
like here. I don't want to be dirty, but like porn back in the days, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's the only way. Look at this, like a magazine like this with LL Cool J on the cover.
Yeah, this is LL Cool J right here with the Kangol hat, the rope chain.
Yeah, and this is when he was beefing with Kumo D from the West Coast right here. Dang. So him and Cool J had a beef, and this is a right.
I don't even know about hip hop that much, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. And then it started turning into when I started doing this is that. Like something like this, we're looking at, you know, this is a advertisement that was not given out to the public with Tupac on the cover.
How do you get your hands on something like this?
Man, we could go through all these and you're going to hear 10 different stories about it, you know? I'm like one of those, have you ever seen that show, American Pickers, I think it's called?
Yeah, where they
go around and they're digging in barns and stuff. I got stories for every single one of these. And actually, this one right here that we're looking at, this one came out of a Death Row auction that they had in L.A.
Death Row auction?
Yeah, you know, Death Row was like Suge Knight and Tupac and Dre.
That's
and
all you got for that day?
No, I got some stuff out of there. So what happened was that the company, make a long story short, after they went out of business, they went bankrupt. And they came in and just liquidated everything.
It was like everything was gold
chains, thing. Just Tupac's frames and pictures. They were just the Death Row chair.
Yeah. Somebody got that?
Somebody got that one. Hell yeah. So they liquidated all this stuff, and I ended up with some really, really unique stuff.
What's your favorite item? Like, if you could name something, you know what I mean?
I got a few here.
That's your favorite item.
When we look at the magazines, some of my favorite magazines, because they have a story. It's not really, you know, some of it is the cover, but other times it's just how I obtained it and stuff like that. Like this one. This one came out of some guy in Gilroy gave this to me, and it's a...
For free?
No. I had to pay for it, but at the same time, it's a kind of a hard magazine to get. It's called Clout, and it's a graffiti magazine.
Man, that's what all the kids are trying to get now. Yeah, Clout, yeah. Bro. See, so Clout was a good word back then.
Yeah.
They brought it back.
And right here, this is... which usually has a lot of, like, a lot of graffiti, but this one has Clyde Carson, who is a Bay Area rapper, on the cover.
Okay.
So I hooked up with him online. I emailed him, and he had some... And I went over there and I picked it up. So
you think that would be one of your?
That's one of my top 30. I got a lot. So
top 30.
What
your number one, man? You're like, damn. What do you think? Like, you feel like if you were to get rid of it, like, what? You couldn't get rid of it, bro. Like, there's no money, nothing could like replace it.
Oh man, okay.
Something. Well, I mean, like something that you couldn't get rid of.
That's a tough one, man. There's a couple, but I think this one is one of them right here, only because it's significant to me in a lot of ways right here. And this one right here, this magazine is called Informer Magazine. It was given out back in the days, but I think it came out of like Sacramento or Bay Area. Yeah, and I don't know if it was free. Did it say free on there?
Is it?
I don't know, but they used it to promote the artist. And so this one, there's not a lot of copies of this out there. But the other thing is, Brother Lynch Hung is a bear. Where's he from? Sacramento, I think. And he was one of my favorite artists back in the days. And he didn't get no publicity because he's like underground.
Yeah.
He did a lot of like horrorcore, like stuff about slicing people and, you know, like crazy stuff. So he never got no covers of magazines. So for him to be on the cover of a magazine, you could tell. Look at how they do this. It looks like we went back there. This looks like the gate we were just in right there, just taking a picture, right?
So it's
super hard to get this magazine. There's not a lot of people that own it, and so for me, that's like a big thing for me right there, because it's if I got rid of this, I would never find it again, basically.
So I mean, that was so you kidding? That money? No, you wouldn't sell that to nobody.
That one I wouldn't. There's stuff probably in that box that's the same thing, but that's one of them. That's like one of the key ones, and then something like this one right here is a Hits magazine with Snoop on the cover. Snoop.
Damn.
And just the cover is beautiful, number one.
Yeah, just
right?
the
colors, and you know he was a Crip, so like you get the baby blue going on in the back with a bright red. But not only that, but this is one of the ones that came out of that Death Row.
$6, man. $6 for a magazine back then.
Yep.
Now you could get on the internet for free and look at shit.
This one's
from December 1993.
Yeah, and this was one of the ones that was from the Death Row era during that time when him, Tupac, and Dre were doing their thing together. Yeah. So it's a really hard one to find, too, because Hits magazine, this one right here, was an industry magazine. So it wasn't given to like the public. Like you couldn't go to the Safeway or somewhere and buy it. They gave them out to like industry people.
Yeah.
Like, because Inside is like who's the top 10, who's the top.
So it's kind of like albums, a billboard, like a update.
Like a flyer,
an update for the labels and stuff. Like, hey, this guy is beating you, this guy's tracker, you know, as analytics.
Yeah, exactly. So it's more like reading the stock market and stuff like that. It's not meant for interviews and stuff like that. It's more of who's going to be the next hot artist, who's going to do that. So in that term, it's a little bit hard to find too, because...
So would you go to different locations and like know that certain stores were going to get certain magazines, or were you cool with certain liquor stores? Like there were some at liquor stores, right?
Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah. Like I said, I've gone to some shady places on Craigslist. I have some stories on Craigslist where I thought I was going to die over a magazine. I've been to parts of San Jose that some dude had emailed me. He said he had a box of these hip-hop magazines. Started getting there. It was like crazy, like where I lived on the east side neighborhoods, like certain streets that you're not supposed to really go
exactly
down.
Man, Selena's
but I was like, you know what, I gotta do it because I want these magazines. So I've done deals like that all the way up to like Sacramento, LA. I've gone to get stuff down the coast. Like I said, most of them are stuff that I've had to like really dig for a lot of this stuff. So it's personal to me because, you know, it's like you have memories of everything that you've done, how you got this one, how this one came about, you know, so.
Yeah, that's to me, memories. I mean, you're like, hey, I drove to San Jose, met some dude on Craigslist. I almost thought I wasn't going to shot for a Tupac magazine, man. They were about to make a magazine after me, man.
Yeah.
The Brian Nagata edition, XXL.
Yeah, so I mean
back in the day it was crazy. I mean like 50 and Chingy and all these crazy like Fabulous, like you don't really even hear about them anymore, man. Like they're kind of
and that's
gone, great. Bro.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of where it is right now, is because these magazines, it's not really about the collection. What it is the history of it. Like I said, this is pre-internet time, a lot of this stuff. So what happens is that when you have this, you have a record of stuff that has happened before.
Exactly.
And a lot of people online now, they regurgitate the same information. Like, you know, they go on Wikipedia and then they write a report about this artist or what happened in hip-hop.
Yeah.
But that doesn't always tell the whole story, you know? There's a lot more to it. And if you go in here, there's interviews with people who were there at that time, what happened, first-hand stories.
I don't really keep track of the magazine, but they're still coming out with magazines?
No. Paper is dead.
There's nothing no more? Nobody produces them?
XXL does like once every quarterly magazine.
You think that would make a comeback? I mean, if they start doing it?
Mm-mm. I don't think so because, like I said, the time it takes you to put the information, print it, and put it out to the public.
Yeah.
It's been on YouTube. It's been on Instagram. It's been on these websites. Yeah, just like the second.
Yeah, for example, it's like when Eminem dropped that new album. Bam.
Yeah. So now we're gonna be waiting another week for them to print it, and then we're reading about the Eminem diss.
Exactly.
By that time, the other guy, MGK, he's already made a diss track back, probably.
Exactly.
You know? The times have changed.
Imagine, you'll have a rainbow colored magazine with a Takashi on it. Like if it was going down right now. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. So I mean,
Nicki Minaj and fucking Cardi B beef.
Yeah, for sure. So what I did was as I was collecting, I finally made a website for my magazines, and the reason I made it was for people to have interest, to just spark interest and have people kind of look at it. My magazines are up there, and you can kind of get an idea of the history and see all these different magazines that are on there. So,
what's the website?
It's rapzines.com. So it's like rap and then magazines, the N-Z-I-N-E-S, rapzines.com. And you can go on there and you could just see.
So you have like almost all your stuff up there? Like
I got about 45% to 50% of them scanned and online. But they're still huge.
So do you, so your magazine collection is your biggest collection, right? Like the biggest thing of your collection. About, but do you also have, what else do you?
Oh, I'll show you. I got a bin. Look, you can see all the dirt on there. You know it's fresh. That's fresh from storage.
We can crack it open if you want real quick. We'll crack it open, check it out.
Because the magazines, I'm actually at.
We'll tell them right now what's going to happen with the magazines. We'll let them know what's about to go down with the magazines. I'm excited, man, to have this guy on my first podcast.
Man, I like them shoes.
Shout out to DeSanti Huaraches, my sponsor. You know what I mean? You know who you are, DeSanti. Always kicking it with the Huaraches, man. They're about to go in the history magazine too.
So, like I said, I don't even know what's in this box because I just pulled a bin out of storage. So you can see all the dirt. You're about to check right now.
There's dirt. There's a
could be anything.
Rat poo. There's Vicodins in here. What is that? Vicodins?
Oh, pills? So look at this right here. We got some pills, bro. Picture of this before you go. This, speaking of Eminem, this is actually Eminem's promo to his album Relapse, as you can see right in there.
Mentos or what?
Yeah, they're probably candy or something. But I didn't really see that. Yeah, these are really cool little.
This is not gonna lie; it's pretty cool. A little bottle, like looks like pills. That's about to take it, man.
This here's a DMX.
Hopefully, he shouts it to me cheap. But did he wear it? DMX actually wear it?
Nah, I wish he did. Yeah. But yeah, this is a DMX we got over when he did his concert.
Maybe it smelled like cocoa butter.
Yeah. Wait.
No, it doesn't. This is like a. If we had a time capsule and this was buried for hip hop, you would be like,
This looks like a lot of the stuff I had in the 90s. Yeah, like Public Enemy,
Rough Rider. We got Rough Rider t-shirts.
Yeah, so this bandana came from Hard Knock Life Tour concert. It was a concert and we went to go see him in San Jose at the, what was it called before? The SAP Center.
Before it was just called San Jose Arena, remember?
San Jose Sharks Arena. It was where the Sharks played, right?
Yeah, just Arena before.
We went to go see him there in the Hard Knock Life Tour. That was a good concert, by the way.
Yeah, so, man, I'm excited, man. This guy. I met this guy at my open mic in Salinas. These guys, I told these guys, hey, check it out, stay. This guy stayed, and he's like, hey, man. His buddy's like, hey, tell him. Like, tell me what, bro? He's like, this guy has the world's biggest hip hop collection.
Yeah, he's.
We got a Snoop Dogg t-shirt. Look, blaze it up.
Blaze it up on it. So these right here obviously are shirts that I had in here. This is another. This is a Rough Riders. This is the original one. These are the ones when they're on tour.
Stop.
Right here, exactly.
That's the wrong song, huh?
There's probably a couple in here. Let's see. Oh, there's a 50. So there's a 50 cent.
We got a 50 cent t-shirt right here. Probably wore it a couple times.
Yeah. And then
we got a jersey.
This is from Nelly's brand back in the days. It's called
I remember Volkel.
Damn. That's old school. I haven't seen that.
You used to dress like that back in the day. You wear Air Force Ones. All the cats matching Air Force Ones.
Yeah. So, matching. Like this one, looks like we got a bunch of DVDs.
We got Ghetto Celebrities, Murder Show, Mr. Fabs, The Freestyle King.
There's a lot of, you know, the
I remember
thing
that,
about
man.
This is that there's a lot of Bay Area stuff in here that's like, that's one of the things that I really like because it's the Bay Area doesn't get its props as much as it should.
It doesn't, bro. Like, just with anything, man, even like me being in the comedy game, mm-hmm. I feel like the Bay Area doesn't even get its props, bro, for a lot of things. And there's so much stuff in the Bay Area. I mean, there's history, everything, man.
And that was one of the things we were talking to Tiny, one of the other comedians, is that, you know, with gentrification going on and all this stuff where they're pushing out people because it's so expensive to live there, they're also pushing out this kind of culture out there, you know? This culture is no longer around. So you have to kind of preserve it. And one of the things is since hip-hop thinks New York started it.
Yeah.
L.A. adapted it. And now down south is hot.
Yeah.
Everybody forgets about all the stuff, the history of hip-hop in the Bay Area. There's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
A lot. E-40 doesn't even get his props that he should, you know?
This guy, man,
who made this shirt, Dope Era, is Mr. Fab from Oakland.
Yeah.
He's in the community. He put a store in downtown Oakland for his clothing line.
Yeah.
And doing all this stuff for the community.
Yeah, he kind of faded out. Him and, I mean, all of them. Yuck, man. All these guys. Yeah. I mean, what's the other guy's name? Keek the Sneak. Yeah, like all them were like in the 2000s. Like, well, when I was in high school, the hyphy, I mean, was going. Everybody was getting into it.
Jumping out cars or what?
Yeah, hanging out the car, ghost riding. I mean, like, even T-Pain was up in it, you know what I mean? T-Pain kind of also.
And the thing is that nobody realizes that Oakland is where a lot of stuff started, too. You know, this hustle of doing the independent game, like anything independent, doing music without a record label, they started it.
Yeah.
They started that. Too Short was selling his tapes out of the trunk of his car.
Yeah,
and there's a hustle out there. That's the kind of stuff that Oakland did, but everybody else gets credit for it. Oh, you know, Master P started it by doing his label and stuff. Nah, he came to the Bay and learned how to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he did.
You know, and then he transported. You ever heard of Tech N9ne?
Tech N9ne.
Tech N9ne's from Kansas City, but he's come to the Bay and learned how to do this independent. Now he owns his own record label. He's a big time dude, man. But he learned that from the Bay.
I think what it is now, like you said, just with SoundCloud and all these, just YouTube, anybody can put their music up there now, man, and be independent. It doesn't. So I mean, if they start, like you said, they started it. I mean, just what it comes down to is hustling, bro. And putting your stuff out there. I mean, these guys had it in the Bay. They're still hustling people out there. I mean, people are still out there grinding and hustling and selling. I mean, even with the Hispanic culture music, if you go to LA, people are giving you CDs of corridos and all these other music. Right. I mean, and people are just out there hustling the CD, bro.
Man, and that's the way it should be. You know, everybody.
I know we're talking about rap, but we got to throw the Mexican music in there, man. Everyone's out there hustling.
Because it's just an idea of the way you should, a lifestyle of hustling and doing stuff on your own and being independent and not having a boss out there.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff. And so one of the things that I realized as I looked at hip hop history is that this stuff like this, these DVDs about Brother Lynch, the guy I was just telling you about, the murder show, you know. There's Mr. Fab right there.
Yeah.
And then I think
I trip out like before stuff. Before me, like I would like watch I know it's not a crazy hip hop, like we'll get all excited. TRL's on, bro. Like new video. And I was like, so and so released a new video. All right, cool. And I can watch it on YouTube, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I mean like stuff like that, it needs to be out there preserved so that when 100 years from now, they got the right information and they have stuff out there. So one of the things that I'm doing is that, you know, look at this. They got stuff like this. Like, there's an autograph from Sister Soulja. She used to be part of Public Enemy back in the days. You know, she would do stuff with
her. Where'd you meet her at?
This is
a tape, is it? Yeah, tape. You still got a tape player.
Man, I got tape. Look, I got VHS in here, too. Man.
Well, how are we going to play that, man?
Busta Rhymes. I got Kumo D, the guy we were talking about.
Because back then, you had to buy their DVD or whatever to see their stuff, you know what I mean? Their show, you know what I mean? They would record their shows back then, right?
Yeah, that's how you would watch their videos right here. Look at this, Rap's Most Wanted videos. Two Live Crew, Chuck D, Too Short, Ice-T, Ghetto Boys.
Okay, getting excited too, look at them.
That's good because here's another major point of it is that I hear the youth talk about hip-hop, but they don't really know the backstory of it. They know the front story. So there's like a group coming out of Vallejo right now, and they're called SOB, RBE.
Oh,
you ever heard of them?
Yeah.
Now, they have one album. I don't know what it's called, but it's like just a black album and it has their name on it. But if you listen to it, like 6 of the 10 tracks use like NWA beats. They use some Bay Area beats. Yeah. But a lot of people think, oh, maybe SOB came up with this beat right here. Like, this is hard right here.
Yeah.
But they don't realize 15, 20 years ago, this was Dope Man by Eazy-E or something like that. You know, they were doing that. So I think it's good to bridge the gap instead of everybody going, oh, the new music is garbage. Oh, mine was the best music.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks when they were growing up was the best music.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Like back in the day, like, old people would be like, the Temptations or.
So the main thing is to bridge everybody together because hip hop is about forming together and having unity.
Yeah.
So instead of pushing that gap away, saying your music's garbage, my music's good, this is when hip hop was good. Everybody has to just understand the history of it together so that we have props to who it belongs to. Like SOB, they wouldn't be here if it wasn't for, you know, like E-40 or their beats wouldn't be there if it wasn't for NWA making these beats or Dre making the beats.
Yeah, he's still making beats. I mean, for people, he's still putting people on the map.
Yeah, so like stuff like that.
That's
to see is that the younger generation actually enjoys hip-hop too, but at the same time they know about it too, you know. That's a big thing.
Yeah, because I was watching a documentary on the Biggie and Tupac one. The moms are talking and stuff, and they're like, Biggie and Tupac weren't even beefy, man. It was just the labels, and they started some crazy East Coast shit and West Coast shit, and then for no reason these fools died because of other people shit. Not even because of they were showing videos of them together, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Biggie and Tupac were hugging and shit, hanging out at some
show. And isn't that some show?
Yeah, that is.
Maybe our greatest rapper of all time in Tupac and Biggie, top 5.
Biggie's fucking bad, bro. I listen to him all the time, bro. Dude.
So we lost them both within a matter of a year because of some stupid shit.
Yeah, just because, like, is this the same shit going on right now? I mean, with different rappers and this and that. You don't really see it as much anymore, I think, because people are not so I guess, gangsta anymore.
Yeah. There is a different persona about how they go about it, but there's a lot of good music out there. But the thing with like the newer internet and stuff with SoundCloud and all that is that more garbage goes through. So it looks like there's a bunch of garbage out there. But all it is that there's a bigger port for people to... Before, you had to be on a record label or you had to get found and all this. It was tougher to get a record deal. Here, me and you can make a record now. And we don't need a record deal. So there's a lot of stuff that is out there. So in order to find the good stuff, you just have to filter through a lot more garbage. You know, there's a lot of garbage.
Yeah, there is good stuff out there.
But there is good stuff. You just gotta find it. There's some newcomers that are coming up that I really like that, you know, so... But at the same time, my heart is in the 90s. Like, those were my favorite rappers.
Yeah, I mean, it's just your era. You got addicted to collecting. You got memorabilia. You got toys and stuffed animals and DVDs. And this guy has a whole thing, man.
Look at this. Like, people don't even know this. Even people that are in hip-hop don't realize this. But do you remember the Long Boxes CDs? Are you old enough to even remember
them? I remember seeing them, but I never...
So what happened
was... They're not even open yet, man.
Yeah, so what happened is back in when they started making CDs, they put them in these long boxes right here because the CDs were small, right?
Yeah,
because
I remember used to go to Tower Records and shit.
And all they had was record bins.
Yeah.
So they don't fit in record bins.
Yeah.
So what they did was they made them high enough so that like a record player, like a record, that you can go through them, filter through them. Yeah. So they made them really high up here. So they started doing it this way until they converted the bins to be able to fit a smaller CD.
Yeah, because I remember even they would even, they look like that, but they had a little plastic handles on it, remember?
The safety ones, right? And they would always put the hip-hop in the front so nobody would steal the hip-hop one. But this album right here, it's sealed, and it's called The Jazz. But this dude actually gave Jay-Z his first break.
That's what's up.
And so Jay-Z is actually on this album.
Let's open it. Fuck it.
No. You have to pay it. You buy it, and then we'll open it.
Shit, you can probably just find a song online somewhere.
Right. So he was on this album, The Jazz.
We think that's worth, right? We think somebody will pay for that. There's probably not even none out there, bro.
No, I've seen a few back in the days, but I haven't checked in a long time because this has been in.
Because I remember even going to Walmart and they had CDs.
Yeah, but that's another dying thing. That's why this stuff is starting to become where relics. You can't look at it like as if like you're going to continue to collect them. I kind of stopped too with the hip hop and the CD stuff because it's a dying generation of media like magazines and CDs. I still collect CDs because my collection is not complete.
Yeah.
There's still a lot out there that I want to finish
But that's the good thing about the internet also, that it gives you the opportunity to find these things.
Yeah.
Craigslist, put a Craigslist ad or even Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for Craigslist and eBay, I wouldn't have a lot of the stuff that I found. Because
people
would
just buy it back in the day, just buy it just to buy it, and then they think it was going to be, it might be worth money now. Let's put it online.
Exactly. Look at these. We didn't even see these in here, but.
We got Public Enemy. That's probably
toys.
Worth some money right there,
Chuck D and Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav. That's a funny toy right there. I like that.
Those pretty nicely put together. Yeah, look at his chin and everything. You got them like really detailed.
That's good. So how much were those back in the day?
These were made by Mezco, which I think is a company run
official
by,
comic book. It says they had a comic book. It says
there's one inside it's probably in the back.
Oh yeah, there's a comic
book. One that's in the back. Maybe.
Yeah, there is a comic book inside right there.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. Damn, we got comic books too.
Yeah,
got it all, man. Yeah, I mean, if you guys got any hip-hop stuff and want to sell it to him, we're gonna hook you up with him, man. He'll buy it all.
I'll give you my Instagram, my Snapchat, my website. Just get a hold of me and we'll work something out.
Some guy on Facebook the other day was like, hey, man, that's not street value of your cameras this now. I'm like, bro, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? It's still worth money. No street. We're not in the streets. We on Facebook Market, bro.
Exactly. You're dealing with more people now when you go over there. Look at that, man.
Andre Nicotina.
So this is Andre Nicotina who turned into, what did he turn into? Dre Dog was his name. I don't know which one was first. No, he was Dre Dog, and then he changed his name to, I think I'm correct.
I think he's back.
Yeah, so...
Now he's Andre Nicotina. Right?
Yeah, okay. So he started as Dre Dog, and then he became Andre Nicotina. And this is one of his press photos right here that they used to give out to the, you know, Dog Day Records was where he was at that time. A school book. I got this
as
out
a
of
school
a
book?
Library. Yeah, remember these? Like when you used to go to school and had like famous people on it? Well, they made one with Tupac on it. Hip-hop.
That was definitely at the public schools.
Yeah. So that's
actually nice, bro.
Oh, look at this one. So... I joined the Too Short fan club back in the days when I was a kid in 93.
And he sent it to you?
And I wrote a letter.
That's the type that he sent that they do that, you know? That's sick, bro.
Yeah, so Too Short, life is, and he wrote right there, life is too short.
Yeah. That's what's up, man. I don't know what's in. How much was that back in the days?
Oh, it wasn't.
$5, $6.
Like I said, he sent it to me, so I never. There's really not a price.
On no, I'm that. Saying, but like, do you had to join the fan club to pay?
Yeah,
to pay?
But it was free. It was free at the time to join.
Oh, it was free. Yeah. That looks like that looks like LeBron James.
That's these are my cousins. My cousin drew, did these on his computer. Method Man and Red Man. He did like.
Did they sign them?
Nah, he didn't. He signed them, but there's some cool lithographs that he. That's sick, done, though. So you know.
Yeah, they were really big too, man. Back in the day, I mean.
You know that concert we were talking about, that Hard Knock Life tour.
Yeah.
One of the things about that, it had DMX, Ja Rule, Method Man, Red Man, Jay-Z was on there, and.
I seen Jay-Z one time. He's good, man. Yeah. Life.
If you go back and look at footage, I probably have it here in one of those DVDs right there. But
that guy's a Nintendo, bro. Nintendo One.
All the way back, look at that.
Nintendo, retro. Dreamcast, Xbox.
Got the Xbox Gamecast. 1, 2, 360.
Oh, yeah, he does. PlayStation 2, 3,
4.
Xbox GameCube. 1, GameCube.
Man, which one you want? I'll handle you at all of them except for the Dreamcast. Newer one. You want to play some Ms. Pac-Man?
I'll beat you still.
I'll get you on some Ms. Pac-Man.
This guy will play Ms. Pac-Man. Sorry for him. I just looked to the right, man. This guy collects everything.
Yeah, so like...
Except Jordan.
So that Method Man and Red Man one. I got some Jordan stuff. I found my Michael Jordan bubble gum from back in the day.
You should sell it on eBay, man. I had some...
I think we should have a video.
Limited edition 6 rings that came out, right? The laser print ones. I don't know if you've seen laser.
Yeah.
And I bought a size 11, and I'm like, I'm going to keep them. They don't, because I wear 10 and a half. Uh-huh. So I gave them to my homie, though, for his birthday.
Now, how long was this?
Like in 2009, 8. Damn. So then I look them up on eBay, like a few years later, like $600, $700. Oh, yeah. Bucks. I'm like, damn. Oh, yeah. Then folks like sending me pictures of cooking, mowing the lawn and shit with them.
Yeah,
I was like, bro.
I used to collect.
Yeah, I don't collect Jordans anymore, man.
I collect because I used to be a Seattle Supersonics fan back in the days before they became the.
Yeah, they made a. OKC did you see Thunder. They made a pair of 6 rings with them.
Really?
Of those ones.
Oh, dang. No, I haven't seen those, but I used to have the Kamikazes that Sean Kemp had back in the days.
Yeah.
And that's off topic, but that bubble gum, how about this? We should open it up, do a video, and chew on it and see if it's still good.
Dude.
After this is 92, so
let's do it.
You see, 92, that means it's 8 years plus 18. Well, it's 26 years old. Do you think it's still good?
Because we did like maybe what, like in 2010-11 we had my buddy, I bought some I used to collect sports cards, so I bought some off some dude. Mm-hmm. And it had the bubble gum in it. This guy was trying to chew it.
Nah, man.
My son was trying to chew it, bro.
Right?
Yeah, right? But you have like, they're like bubblegum sticks?
No, remember how they make big league chew?
Oh, you have it like that?
It was, I bought it in Japan.
But it's Jordan one.
And it's Jordan doing his, from the free throw line.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a red bubblegum pouch.
Fuck it, let's open it.
And it feels
it.
Like
we'll
it's still tender.
We'll try it, bro.
I'll have to pull it out of storage. It might be a little dusty,
fuck
but
it.
We can do that.
We'll do the Jordan challenge, bro. See if anybody can find some Jordan gum in.
Oh, yeah.
Start a new challenge. Fuck you, Kiki challenge.
Exactly. So I got bins like this in storage.
So what? So that. you were telling me that where's your magazine collection going to, man? Where's this thing going to?
Well, to do it without getting anybody in trouble, I'll just say that it's going to a university.
Exactly. Okay.
And it's going to be used for research, and it's going to a very big university, and they are going to PDF every single page. So you got You got to think. There's 4,500 magazines. Okay. And each one has an.
Do you remember the first one you bought ever?
Oh crap! First one I ever bought. Yeah, it was a Source magazine. It had, I believe,
you know,
Eazy-E on the cover.
You have that one?
Yeah, he's on the top of a 64 Impala, I believe.
You got to give him that one too.
I do.
Damn! Should tell, hey man, let me keep the first one at least.
You know what? There's a few, but I have a lot of duplicates too, because you got to think, like, a lot of times when I bought them in bulk, I had some of them already, so I actually have an extra like 1,500 magazines that are duplicates from this collection.
So once they PDF this, people are going to be able to go online. They have to pay.
Well,
is it going to be free?
I don't know what the university, how they do it. All I know is it will be called the Brian Nagata Collection, and it will be PDF. And one of the stipulations is that they give me a PDF of the entire collection once it's archived. So I'll still have possession of the pages, you know. Oh, League of Legends. Playing League of Legends over there.
League of Legends.
Yeah.
That's
what's
up, man.
Yeah,
that's
so
crazy.
It's going to be pretty soon. It's going to be gone out of my possession. But
just the magazines, right?
Yeah, that part right now is what we're working on. The other stuff is not cataloged or anything, so I really can't get to that yet. So that was the first thing that we had done. And it, like I said, it's going to a place where it's going to be used. And it's crazy because it's going to really people that want to do research on hip hop, they're going to find a lot of information. I've used it to help solve murder cases and stuff like that. You know, the NWA movie, they came to me to find photos of Easy's home and Dre's home inside the magazine.
Nah, for real? How did they get in contact with you?
Through the rapzines.com website. You know, I have like a contact me page.
Okay.
They went on there and said, hey, we're working for Sony Pictures or whatever picture was doing the movie. I'm in charge of whatever it was. She asked if you can find pictures, we'll pay you for any pictures you find of their house. Because even though you go online, if you go online and try to find Easy's home, like the insides, you're not going to find any pictures, images on there. So yeah. The only places where you would be able to find them is in some of these magazines when they did interviews or took photos of them. And I found like 5 of them.
That's crazy.
Took a lot of digging, but stuff like that. So when they recreated their homes in that movie, the NWA movie, they used it based off those pictures that I gave them, you know, stuff like that. So that's important stuff because you would never know what the inside of
your exactly, home man.
Looked like in 92.
Yeah, because there's no internet, man. There's nothing. Know? There's no smartphones, nothing. Yeah, where's it? Except for the pictures they developed.
Yeah, so
if they developed exactly. any.
So that's where you'll find them. And even if somebody has a picture of his home, doesn't mean it's on. They put them online, you know. Yeah. So we did that. Another guy from the Huffington Post who does like news, detective work. There was a murder in New Orleans. And the dude wanted to try to get this guy another trial, but he wanted information. There was nothing out there about the shooting that happened at the club and all this, but he had done some interviews. He went to go see him in jail. He told him, I did an interview here, here, and here in this magazine talking about it, and some other people corroborated the story. But those magazines you can't buy online because they're hard to find, but I had them in my collection. So I did the dirty work and dug out those things, took pictures of them, sent it to him, and he wrote an article about trying to free this guy, and he ended up getting a retrial.
Damn, so is he free now?
No, that was like 2 years ago, so I'm not really sure.
That's crazy. So did they pay you to dig through all this shit?
You know what? They did only because, you know, for me, time is money.
Exactly,
you know, it's precious to me. So it's not that I do it because, you know, oh, I want to make all this money off of it, but if you're going to waste, you know, 6 hours of my day, you're going to have to pay for it a little bit.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly, man. You're not going to dig that shit for free.
The good thing is I learned something because the lady that did the movies, when you are what you they call an archivist, somebody who has to do that kind of stuff, they pay them good money to do that kind of stuff. You know, it's not like a normal job where they're paying, you know, 15, 20 bucks an hour. They give you good cash per hour to do that. So I learned a little rate of what I should be charging for that, you know. But the other thing is, again, that's not my thing. So I'll do it if it's something like that that's really important. I mean, think about it. This dude's it's his life in jail, you know,
for that's a murder crazy.
That he did. So
I mean, maybe he comes out and he'll be like, hey, thank you, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
So he was a rapper or what?
Yeah, he was a rapper in New Orleans under I think he was part of Masterpiece No Limit Records. His name is Mac, M-A-C. Yeah, he was part of a No Limit.
So there's pictures of him in the magazine, like at a certain time or what?
Yeah, well, it wasn't even pictures. He wanted the articles because there was people that were there that had been interviewed for the like the Source magazine or XXL, whatever it was. But the article was in those magazines, and he remembers because when he talked to him in jail, he was like, "Hey, look at this magazine because I know there's a guy in there who corroborated the story that it wasn't me who did this." Blah blah blah. So I went and found those articles and stuff. So it was a time period when that event happened. So I went through all the magazines that were within that time frame right there. If there was anything in them, scanned them, sent them off. And then this dude wrote the article and they went back and I heard they had a retrial. That was the last time I looked it up.
This guy's like, an investigator, archiver, collector. This guy does it all, man. This
and like that, I'll do
it's
it.
Crazy, man.
Yeah,
it's
I'll
crazy.
Do it for him because, like I said, that's somebody's life.
So, I mean, if you don't know anybody that was a rapper and getting in trouble, bro, this guy probably has all the information for them. He's going to solve it for you, bro. He's like Scooby-Doo over here, man. We're solving mysteries and shit.
Yeah, we'll look through all these DVDs.
Yeah, this guy has DVDs right here, man. We got, what else you got in here? We got a Tupac movie. Was it VHS?
Oh yeah, right here, Thug Immortal.
We got
look at this, man. This is going back. DOS Effects.
DOS Effects. What's that little toy? The other toy down there. We got.
Oh, I don't know.
We got a Coolio. He got a Coolio tape, man. Run DMC.
Master J before Rest in Peace. But this is a little mini one he had.
Oh, that's probably worth some money right there, man.
He passed away, you know. Right there, got a Coolio. Yeah, damn.
Coolio right here, man. Gangsta's Paradise.
The show that was actually a really good. Good one too. So this one had a bunch of
Dr. Dre. Yeah, I remember back in the day they had those they would sell those tapes and videos and shit.
Yeah,
they'll come out like, buy Dr. Strange, the DVD.
Right,
it's
right.
It's fucking so, Up in Smoke Tour. Remember that shit? Like 2000?
Yep. This ain't really hip-hop, but this is my favorite movie, Menace to Society.
That's a good movie. Good movie. It's still hip-hop history, bro.
Yeah, because there's music in there. I think Two Short, you know, Two Short's in it. Two Short's also in it. Another rapper named Saphir that's in it from the Hobo Junction.
So we just got like a port, like a sample of this guy's collection, man. This guy has... This guy has, I think, thousands and thousands of things.
We'll do it out of the storage unit. So we
we'll do another episode with you. This is my, I just wanted to get my first episode going, man. This guy, I met him, like I said, at the bar the other day, and he was, they were cool peoples, bro. And he supported the comedy game. They supported it. They stayed. And he said, I told him, man, I want to interview you, man. Just check out this archive of damn magazines you got, bro. Magazines and books and clothes and who knows what else he has. Bubblegum, he said.
Well, we're going to do that one.
Yeah, I mean, but we're about almost 40 minutes, you know what I mean? We got it going.
Yeah.
Went by fast. We seen some stuff. I don't know. You want to just give your handles out, your Instagram, and again, let them know your website again?
Yeah, so you can catch me on rapzines.com if you have any information or you just want to check out the site. Like I said, it's not built really for e-commerce. It's there for people to enjoy and to look at. So you want to dig around magazines in there. It's pretty cool. Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, wherever. We'll have the handle somewhere in Julian's.
Yeah, I could put it on here, or I could put it on my Instagram.
You can give me on Snapchat, B Nagata. There's I don't know what my handles are on everything else. Instagram, maybe Rap Zines. It's on
Rap Zines.
Yeah, so we'll get them all out there.
Like, we'll get them some followers, man. This guy has history, right? Man, this guy has some history.
Right? I don't really go out there looking for followers, so it is what it is. Like this, you're actually the third person to ever see some of this collection.
Right? Damn, that's what.
And the other two people came. One person came because they were doing a documentary on his.
Told me. I think you told me about.
And the other person came because he's a archivist in New York, and so he flew down here to see this stuff. So.
Oh, he does the same thing you do then.
Not this. He actually is the connection to do between here and getting them to universities and doing all that.
Okay. Kind of stuff. So how did both? How did the university even, they found you from the website also?
No, through the guy that came that down dude? From New York.
So how he hear about you though?
Through the documentary. And the documentary people who were doing the documentary went through my website.
Okay. So they found your website.
They came down.
This is a guy from Salinas, man. We're here in Salinas, bro. He's hiding right between the fields. All this shit right here.
And it's been like that. Like I said, very few people have ever known about it. So, I mean, it's cool that somebody from the area gets to take a look at it.
I was really excited, bro. Like, I was telling people, hey, I got to interview this guy. I met a dude. He said that with his buddy hyped him up. World's biggest hip hop collection, right. Bro. He kept saying it. I mean,
he had a little bit too much space dust.
I think it was drinking space dust.
Yeah.
Well, they're not paying us to say that, but it was space dust beer.
I'm glad to have you out here too, man.
Yeah,
I thought you were gonna come do the interview without a shirt on because I saw some of the videos. you never have a damn shirt on.
They got the 6ix9ine, bro. My new character. Yeah. Well, what do you think about these guys? These new guys. Some of them. You think any of them mean? It's a new era, new shit.
Like for him, I don't really like his music too much because it's just not my thing.
Yeah.
But there's other guys like him that I like. Like I'll listen to SOB, like that group. There's a couple of guys out of the Bay Area that I really like that I just recently I listened to the other day. But it's really comes down to your own flavor of music. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just like my buddy said, he's like, he's not a musician. He's an entertainer.
Right.
He's entertaining people. He's fucking. I know people hate him, bro. But as an entertainer, bro, he's fucking getting it, bro. He's out there, fucking killing it, bro. You can hate him all you want, but he's fucking killing it, bro.
Oh man, there's a lot of guys out there. Yeah, there's like this new guy out of L.A.
Not music wise, but entertaining wise.
But he's hustling. That's the biggest. Exactly. Point. You can't knock the hustle. It doesn't matter if you don't like the music.
Fuck no, bro.
You can't knock the hustle.
He's getting money and chains and whatever, bro.
There's this new guy out of L.A. named G Perico that's coming out. That's really good. I like the singer. I call him a singer. His name Russ. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he's not really a rapper, even though they call him a rapper. I call him more like an R&B singer,
like a little mini Drake.
Yeah, but a little bit more on the singing side than the rapping side. There's this guy named Six Lack that does like I think it's Black. I don't know how you say it. It's a six with a L-A-C-K, so I think it's Black. But he uses six. I like this guy OT Genesis that's coming out. Hit a J3. There's a lot of guys out of the Bay Area too.
There's a lot of Bay people, bro. People, there's people. You know, there's
one guy, 03 Greedo, man. He's out of LA too, man. Boy,
this guy's getting me like Mozzie, excited now to listen to these people.
Go listen to Mozzie stuff out of Sacramento. You know, 03 Greedo. This guy, I was gonna go see his concert.
Yeah,
but you know,
I go Jeff.
He came out and I heard him, and all his concerts were in like these really sketchy nightclubs in Sacramento and Oakland. They weren't in like arenas because he's local.
Yeah,
he's not very known, and so nobody wanted to go with me. They're like, I ain't going to that club to go see this dude, man.
Yeah, I'm actually going to Oakland tonight to Berkeley. See how that goes.
Yeah, so and there's certain places I'm like, we'll be fine, man. Let's just go see him. I'm digging this guy, right? So nobody wanted to go with me. He had the concerts, and then I finally looked him up. I was like, I got to go see this dude, man.
Yeah.
He's starting to pop up. Then he's gonna be famous, and you know, I'm not going to be able to see him. I'll have to go to like an arena.
Instead
of like the Catalyst or something small where you're like intimate, you know, you can see him right there.
It's cool like that where you can say like, hey, I seen that guy when he was nobody.
I seen him
when he was coming up, following.
That's what I wanted to do.
And I feel like you like to see people as they come up, you know, like.
Right. Like, oh, I had seen him before he blew up.
Just like me, bro.
You know? That's what I'm saying. I had a beer with this dude out there.
Did a podcast with him, bro.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be famous, bro.
That's what it's about. You should. Everybody should think that way.
Yeah.
You go out there and do your thing, man. And hustle. So that guy, to make a long story short, he just got served a 20-year sentence. So
maybe make some raps when he gets out of jail.
So the cool thing is, no, this dude, before they put him sentenced him, like he went into jail, he said he was going to make 30 albums in 30 days before they sent him.
I think I heard about that guy.
Yeah, so apparently he has a lot of music that he did. Now I think he's in now. But
that fool's going to have money on his books. You guys buy his albums.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So stuff like that. There's a lot of good stuff that's out right now. It's just a matter of your taste, you know, what kind of music you like.
Yeah, man.
You know? Okay. I understand kids listen to the stuff that I listened to back in the days. They ain't gonna like it.
A lot of
it they're not gonna like, you know. But it's just about, you know, everybody has their own music, man.
Yeah, man.
Gotta respect it.
Gotta respect the hustle, the game, the music, whatever it is you do. Just hustle out there, man. Respect it. Like I said, man, I was excited to meet this guy today at his home right here, and check out his collection, man. And like I said, I met him the other day, and we've been talking since last week, man, to do this, and I'm just excited, man. I don't have no words nothing else to say, man. It's just cool to see this history, I mean, like magazines and all this crazy stuff of hip-hop, you know what I mean?
And on the other side, man, you got to go see this guy, man. He's funny as hell, man. We go out there. He talks He talks like a real dude, that's why. It doesn't even sound like any of this is written out or stay. He'll go out there and just talk the truth, and he's a funny dude just on his own.
We're getting it, man.
You got to. We're both from Salinas, you know? We both grew up on the. I don't know if you grew up. I thought you told me.
I hang out on the east side. Well, there's the newer. It was the newer house at the time.
Oh, okay.
But still east side.
Yeah, you know.
Still hung out over there.
We're still Salinas, and you know how Salinas people are. We stick together. We're family, man. We
got to
keep together. We got to help each other out, hustle for each other, and promote each other, and do that kind of stuff.
I'll probably take some pictures right now with him and of some stuff and post it on my IG and Snapchat and Facebook and everything, man. And, I mean, this is the first episode of my personal podcast that I'm going to be doing. Hopefully, I get other people like you that are cool with other cool history or cool, I don't know, whatever, comics. I'm going to just try to get anybody that has something interesting to talk about with me and get on this, you know what I mean, and just keep it going. So, you guys keep the fans. You know what I mean, give you guys a new outlet to see me, you know, versus just seeing me on videos on Snapchat, Instagram. I mean, you guys could hear me talk.
You're all over the place.
Hear me speak, spoke.
How do you have time for life, man? You're all over
the
place.
I have to work, man. I'm working as a regular job right now, too, man. I don't even want to work. I want to be... I used to have my own shop, bro, but...
Hey, man.
That's for another episode, man. that right there.
Yeah,
but thank you for your time. I'll get his handles and everything. I'll take some pics of some of this stuff. You guys can check it out. I appreciate everybody listening. Hopefully, this little podcast takes off, man. All right. Thank you. This is El Gordo Mamón. We out.